Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy. I am Craig, joined today by Howie.
Hello, everybody.
And Bobby.
Hey, what's up, guys?
He's a little wound up.
Yeah, we had a 30-minute pre-show.
Oh, good Lord.
That's essentially what it turned out to be.
Way to just preface the situation here. Like, we're sorry for what you guys are about to hear.
We're going to try to keep
That's our disclaimer.
PG-13, so yeah.
Yeah, we try to keep it, you know, family-friendly.
Yeah, or just throw a curveball and talk about something completely different. Who knows?
Maybe. Are you going to?
I don't know.
Like, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll Tootsie Pop?
We talked about
the
that
world
a year
may
ago.
Never know.
We talked about that a year ago. My son was doing a science project when he got home after like the first or second day of school. Remember that?
Well, I remember.
Yeah. And he was actually licking the Tootsie Pop. It's three.
Yeah, that's what I told him to write down. He's like, I don't know. I'm up to about 600. I'm like, just tell your science teacher it's three.
Three.
Well, I just shut your mouth.
You had to show him the commercial. I hope
I did.
Okay.
He's like, he's not going to know that. I go, trust me.
How old is his teacher?
His teacher's around our age. I go,
oh yeah,
same,
he totally remembers.
Same generation. I'm like, he's going to know.
That's like I was showing my age. We're back to bowling. Okay.
Yeah,
we're
bowling started bowling. This past week. Craig had a good first game. I don't know how the second two games
Dude, go. My average is 133. I finished with a 133.
Average over
average.
Three games?
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Right on the mark.
Yeah, but I had a 166 the first game, which meant that I had less than 100 in the third game.
Oh, jeez.
I was confused. First thing, they have...
Oh, yeah, they got a whole bunch of new barriers up.
They have barriers up, but they're not clear, so you can't see who's next to you. They're frosted, because I would guess that they were cheaper.
I guess.
Or they're the only ones that were available, because everybody needs them now.
I don't know. I'm not privy to that information, though I could ask, but anyway.
So, is it Mike Drum?
I think so, yeah.
He's bowling next to me. I can't see anything except his feet, so I'm not sure where to go, and... All of a sudden, he leans down under the barrier and waves me forward. Like, because you can't bowl with somebody next to you, according to Cuomo's law. Plus, it's also bad form to actually bowl that way.
It's bad etiquette.
Right. And so the night ended up being people leaning down and waving under these barriers you can't see through. I ran into ours five times, maybe.
You ran into the barrier?
You can't see them when you're coming back up the steps.
Oh, okay.
Because of the thin edge on them? Oh, yeah. Because you come up from... Well, you saw we were polling.
I did. It turns out I'm a full-time sub this year because of the amount of classes I'm taking, and you guys are bowling my in-laws.
Yes.
I'm guessing they took all four.
Yeah, but it was a close first game thanks to the great bowling by Craig. I whooped Jerry's ass that night.
I saw the scores. And
he finished way ahead of me at the end, but that first game was like hell to the end. The only person who beat me, and he didn't beat me by much, was John.
And he's uber competitive anyway.
Yeah. So my idea now is I want to take a dry erase eraser and dry erase markers and talk smack about the team I'm bowling against on those things and then erase it at the end.
Oh, I like that idea.
Isn't it a great idea?
That's a great idea.
Just take some...
Make sure you bring erasers.
Oh, yes.
I was going to say get some Expo spray.
Yeah, exactly.
And a cloth. Do it that way, just in case.
Right.
Or as schools would say, an old sock.
An old sock?
That's what some school supply lists are, old sock.
That's for other things.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, the rules were you can't take your mask off from the table to the lane. Once you get up there, since you're the only person up there, you can pull it down below your nose.
Okay.
To bowl. But as soon as you turn around, you got to put it back up. I just left it on.
Well, yeah.
And we had food at our table. So once you have food at your table, you can take it off.
Yeah, because, you know, the virus is smart.
Right. It knows not to eat.
I'm not diminishing the virus, but I'm just, some of these restrictions just boggle the mind.
Some of the other restrictions were you can't leave your table except to bowl and to go to the bathroom. Well, we're 9 feet from the vending machine, and I'm like, can I get up to go to the vending machine? And Jerry, being a smarty pants, said no. So I said, oh, I have to go to the bathroom. And I just made it a longer trip.
They're right next to each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
And got my drink. But it was very, very odd. It was great to be bowling again. I haven't bowled since February. I was bowling great. And then Howie showed up and my game went to hell after that.
I did stop by. I was dropping my son off because it was last week when he had no actual school. His school started. He's had now two sessions of his college course. 100% Zoom.
He has to go all the way, typically in a typical year, all the way to Batavia.
Yes.
But don't they have a GCC campus in Medina?
They do. He has not yet reached the point where the courses that would be offered for him are taken at the satellite campus in Medina yet.
Okay.
There might be even some in Albion at some point in the future, but for right now, he's going to... Right now, he's going to the room in my house where there's a computer with a Zoom and camera and everything.
Okay, so the thing that I was going to talk to you about bowling was I kept looking at the scoreboard, and we bowl with a woman named Sharon. Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't have the N on it on the scoreboard because there's not enough space to write out Sharon completely. So I said, turn to Jerry, and I go, look, it says Charo up there. Just have your wife go, Gucci, Gucci.
Did he get that? Did he laugh?
He did, and then Sharon yelled at me. She goes, I can't believe you said that. It's showing how old you really are.
Did their son get it?
No.
Of course.
Nope. Though he told me 4 times that he was quarantined at work because he had a false positive.
I heard about that.
4 times?
I heard about it 1 time.
Okay.
I heard about the after effects multiple times, but I heard about the whole
issue. Did he have to give the up the nostril test and all
that? I have no idea. I've kind of kept my head down and done what I needed to do to stay as far away from this nonsense as I possibly can. Yes, I pay attention to what's going on, but in terms of, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about I've limited the amount of gossip I participate in. Let's put it that way.
So now that I'm back bowling, and I'm off this upcoming week because just the way we're on two, off one, but the way the first week fell and the way Jerry and Sharon need time off, mm-hmm. I bowl once, bowl twice, off. So I'm off this week, kind of relief. I haven't bowled since February because that week in March I couldn't bowl because I had to give a speech at North Park School.
And everything shut down after that.
Everything shut down after that, yeah.
Oh, well.
But now that bowling started, you know what else has started? Football started today.
Yes.
Actually, it started Thursday, and I watched that game too. And hockey, Bobby's a pretty happy camper right now. He'll be a lot happier tomorrow night, I'm sure. We're hoping.
If my guys win.
Yeah. Yes.
They're up 3-1.
Okay. I wish they could have done this last season to give my team an extra first-round pick, but you know what? No big deal. Go your...
You don't need any more first-round picks this year.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, actually, you had to figure out who won the hockey game earlier today, because I think they were...
It was the Islanders?
Islanders and the Lightning.
I thought the Islanders were up, but I'm not positive.
Nope.
They got spanked?
The Lightning won 4-1.
Are they up 3-1 now?
They're up 3-1 now.
Okay.
So everything can be ready to go by Wednesday.
So we're going to have a Stanley Cup final between Tampa Bay and Dallas.
Maybe. I'm not counting those chickens before they hatch.
Listen, the odds are right now that we have a Stanley Cup final of Tampa Bay and Dallas.
And they're going to move them to neutral site. Well, they're already in neutral site, aren't they?
Yeah, they're already
Canada in
neutral site.
No,
it was baseball that's moving to neutral site after the first round.
That is correct.
That's what it is.
But for
go hockey, Blue Jays.
For hockey, I'm just looking forward to the end of the season because, like you said about drafts, it's pretty exciting. My team is doing. My team just got ranked #1 prospect pool without the #1 overall pick, and there's going to be some trades made. It's going to be a very, very, very fun offseason. And as for baseball, whatever.
I think you guys are done for the season.
My team?
Yeah.
No,
they're not in it right now. They're outside by a game and a half.
You are incorrect.
Am I?
Yes.
Then I was looking at the wrong newspaper.
Oh, my team has no hope in baseball.
My team has moved up to, I think, the 7th.
So out of all this, I think what we can all appreciate is that the Red Sox, the worst team in the league.
I don't mind that one bit. At all.
Nah.
Cannot stand the Red Sox.
It's looking like
the Boston area is on its way to a downturn in sports.
I don't know. Speaking, have you seen Cam Newton today?
No.
He looked pretty good.
Generally speaking, though.
Well, he ran for 2 touchdowns.
Did you see the outfit he showed up in? It was spectacular. You can not like Cam Newton as a player, but I love his style. when he shows up in those suits. He had a bright yellow suit on. It was, the pants were way too short, but apparently that's a style now.
Yeah, I don't like
this. I guess. I'm more of a classic when it comes to the suit.
You know what I miss, and you can appreciate this. It used to be when you went to a football game, the coaches dressed well on the sidelines.
Like
and
Lombardi,
then,
right? Was it? No, it was
Tom
Landry.
Tom Landry.
Yes.
Now they show up in sweatpants or wind pants and ripped hoodies and look like slugs. You are the face of a, in the case of the New England Patriots, a billion-dollar business.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't look like a slob. I mean, everyone has their stylistic choices,
mm-hmm.
but I'm Robert Kraft, and unless you're delivering a massage, you better be fully dressed to the T.
Well, there you go.
I think there is what you're saying, and there's what they're showing up as, and I think there's somewhere in the middle that we could all agree would be much better, generally speaking. And I said that again now. But the point I'm getting is Belichick doesn't need to stand there in wind pants and a sleeveless hoodie. He looks moronic. Even if he was to be fully sleeved, like Sean McDermott on the Bills sideline, he'd look a lot better. So there's a middle ground that they should all kind of agree to. I'm not saying they need to be dressed to the nines, but I am saying don't show up in sweats and ripped clothing.
I will say this. Like, when Jason Garrett was coach of the Cowboys, he at least wore khakis.
Right. I was going to say khakis, like, are a great choice.
Or a pair of slacks.
Yeah. Right.
And he wore a polo. Like, he wore the team polo.
Yep.
And he didn't wear a hat, but he wore polo and khakis or slacks. And I was like, I can get behind that. That's cool.
As long as they're not showing up like a baseball manager in full uniform, we're in good shape.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Wouldn't it be great?
It would be. Everyone's number, let's see, what everyone is number 00, because I think they've retired that number across, I think they've eliminated that number. So all coaches should be 00.
Eventually, they're going to have to bring numbers out of retirement, because they're going to retire, you know, half the numbers, and they're going to be like, crap, we got a 53-man roster, and 63 of them have been retired.
They'll do what they do in the NASCAR lower series. He's 6B.
Or they just put letters on, C, right, for head coach. Like,
wait a minute, there's letters in math?
Yes, they look like they're from the Greek alphabet.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be cool?
It would be.
It is nice, though, to have football back, because it does give some semblance of what life was like prior to COVID. I mean, minus the, you know, the stands being virtually empty and them piping in sound, like, it looks and sounds different.
Looks different. It definitely sounds different. I was watching the Bills game today, and the Bills came out of the halftime playing so poorly in the third quarter. They are slow to adjust after the half. Always have been. They haven't gotten any better at it. They're playing so bad, I think the fake fans on TV booed.
Yeah, there were some boos, and it was fake fans doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
Why not? Kudos to the PA controller for thinking that up, saying, you know what? Let's make it as realistic as possible. On my way out here tonight, I was listening to some of the postgame show, and somebody asked the Bill Tre'Davious White, like, what do you think about playing in an empty stadium? And his response was, especially on third downs, we're able to really communicate a lot better. And I hadn't thought of that. So that's one of those things where this season, when there are no fans in the stands, you got to imagine that defenses are going to be a little bit more in tune with what's going on, as will offenses on key plays.
On the other side of that, it was so quiet that twice Josh Allen was able to cadence his way into pulling the Jets offsides.
Yeah, I watched him do it once today, and he got him to jump and had a free play, and then his receiver bobbled the catch and didn't make it. But
now, and here's the other thing, too. If the Bills want to be successful, and I think they will be successful. I'm not a huge Bills fan, but I like to see them do well. I'm a Packers fan. Go Rodgers, who had an awesome day, by the way.
Okay.
That's a Dallas fan over there who growled a little bit.
This is me being okay.
Right, you're not an NFL fan, really.
I like I said, I'm happy when the Bills win because people in the area are happier.
I understand that Josh Allen plays an exciting game, but my God, drop some other plays that won't get your quarterback killed or significantly shorten his career. Because if this is the guy you're going to ride, then you have to protect him a little better than letting him run every down.
I was going to say he runs too much. That's what I was saying about Cam Newton. Cam Newton's been in the league for, what, 8-9 years now? Something like that? Like, he's still running. I mean, I understand that, one, it either means his receivers couldn't get open.
Right.
The play broke down. or the offensive line leaks like a sieve. Either way, he had to run. And I'm like,
well,
he's
honestly
not going to be doing that much longer.
In New England, looking at it objectively, because I am, like I said, I'm not one of those rah-rah Bills fans. I can look at the team and tell you what I like or don't like about the other teams. Outside of Julian Edelman, there's not a lot of receivers there.
Exactly.
I mean, that was the problem with Brady's diminished returns the last two seasons, because there was nobody there.
Well, he lost Gronk.
He got Gronk back, and I like Gronk. We like to make fun of him, but I actually like Gronk. He looked lost on the field today, what I saw so far.
Well, he's doing a little something. He's helping Brady move down the field, and so they're only a TD behind right now.
All I'm saying is I'm going to repeat what I said earlier. Boston sports fans need to be prepared for at least a couple years' worth of a downturn.
How are the Celtics doing? I know we don't watch NBA, but
the Celtics are above average, and they're in the upper echelon of the Eastern Conference.
And the Bruins aren't terrible.
The Bruins, they're going to be facing some cap crunch over the next season or so, and they're going to have to start revamping their entire core, which includes Marchand and Krejci and so on.
All the teams are going to have a cap crunch because they're going to lock in at a specific level. But Pegula Sports Entertainment already says they don't want to spend up to the cap because their revenues aren't there, so they're going to cap themselves $12 million under the cap.
They're not alone in doing that, though.
$12 million under the cap.
They are not alone in doing that. Furthermore, who do the Sabres have that's going to really get up to that level anyway outside of Eichel? I know Skinner's contract's, what, $7.5 million at this point?
Yeah, and whatever Reinhardt gets, because he's in a contract.
So you got to figure, all right, they got Eichel getting $10 million a season. They got Skinner and whatever Reinhardt gets. So you're looking at 10. You're looking at about roughly $25 million. The rest of the roster, at this point, so many of them are young and unproven and just not worthy of phenomenally high salaries. That's
good for this year and next year, but then it's going to be could be problematic after that.
Over the next two seasons is where I would worry, because after that, you can forget about worrying about the expansion draft and so on. But Buffalo fans have got to be so frustrated with the Sabres right now.
So we've gotten back to a little sense of normalcy.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And with football starting, especially.
Normalcy comes back to my house tomorrow.
With school
when
starting.
When school officially begins.
We'll talk about that next week, since you haven't experienced the week of school yet.
It's going to be 5 days a week for my girls and every other day for my son, based on their grade level and so on.
Okay. Part of that normalcy is, like I said, football. I watched the first game Thursday night. Andy Reid, I love Andy Reid. He didn't want to wear a mask, but they were making everybody wear a mask on the sideline unless you're the New Orleans Saints. And then Sean, Payton, already had it, so he doesn't need to wear a mask. So he's not wearing a mask, but I didn't see anybody else wearing them. Andy Reid didn't want to wear one at all, so he took a piece of plastic, and it looked like he clipped it to the brim of his Chiefs baseball cap. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen, because it was almost like, you know how phlebotomists wear that shield, it almost looked like that, but it was just the plastic part clipped to his hat. It was amazing.
It works.
It did work. And every time he got mad, it would steam up and you didn't have to wipe it off. It was hilarious. So
it's probably the whole game.
It's like the eye visor face shield thing for the NHLers, you know, where it gets all... Yeah, okay, that works. Yeah. I'm just saying, you're wearing the shirt. Got me going.
Yeah, but I'm not talking.
What did I tell you before he got here about your shirt?
That I would notice?
He was going to cream his pants.
That's what I said.
I got a shirt similar to that. I bought it for my brother for his birthday a couple years ago.
He did say that he liked my shirt, and then I did hear squish, squish, squish. Messing with you.
I know.
So I know a lot of people that love the Buffalo Bills in this area but are refusing to watch the games. A lot of them who have said all week, I'm not watching the games, not watching the games. I would say 70% of the people who told me that all week, I watched them live tweet parts of the game.
And of course they were watching.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch.
Because they're upset about the protests and the anthems and stuff. And it's a slippery slope there, but it can be a teaching moment for our kids.
It can be a learning moment for adults too.
It could be a learning moment for all of us, everybody.
Yeah.
I read somewhere earlier today that part of the reason we're bringing this up is the Bills and the Jets both stayed in the locker room.
They both stayed in
for
the
anthem today, correct?
Yep.
They didn't stay in like when I believe it was Alicia Keys started singing Lift Every Voice and Sing. They all walked off the field into their respective locker rooms, because I did watch that part because I was watching the pregame show on CBS, and they went into this racial equality piece, and then they were talking about the author of the Lift Every Voice and Sing, and the next thing
which
you know,
is a beautiful song.
It is, and Alicia Keys is singing it, and she has a fantastic voice.
Yes, she's got a beautiful
and voice. All these players walked off the field, and I was like, oh, okay. I was a little confused. I was like, I thought that we were going to do this, you know, that this was going to be done to show, you know, solidarity and that, you know, hey, times are changing. And the players, I figured the players might want that, but they walked off the field. And I'm like, I'm confused by your tactic.
I think that is where so many people, I get what you're saying. I do. And I do not disagree. I think that is where so many people wind up losing their would have been support for the players' protest is that sometimes the message of the protest gets lost in the protest, and so many people get upset with it. I'm not saying you're upset.
No.
Don't get me wrong.
What I was getting at is, and maybe this is what you're hitting on, maybe it's I'm just too tired, but I thought that they were all going to stay on the field when that one was played, and then when the national anthem of the United States was played, they were going to walk off, but they all walked off for Lift Every Voice and Sing.
For both of them.
For both of them. They were off. They walked off the field when the first win, Lift Every Voice and Sing, was going. And then they didn't return until after the national anthem was played. And so I was like, I thought you were going to be on the field for the first win. But then when the official national anthem was played, you were going to walk off the field to show protest. I'm confused.
I think it could be a solidarity type of thing where they're just saying, we're just going to do away with coming out for any of the pregame activities aside from the corn toss.
And that was what I was talking about a few minutes ago is from what I was reading, I guess that teams were never really, at least in the NFL, a lot of them waited until after the anthem was played anyway to come out on the field at one point.
It wasn't that long ago.
That was like last year they did that.
No. Like, this was before everything started. Like
back
all these
in
protests
the 80s
started?
Or yeah. So, they none of the teams came out until after the anthems were over.
Mm.
And then they did, the NFL signed a sponsorship contract with the U.S. military, the various branches. And at that point, I bet you it was in 91.
I'm going to bet you it was in 91. Whitney Houston sang the national anthem?
And that's when the Gulf War
And Whitney
happened.
Houston sang that classic rendition of the national
right.
anthem.
I think at that point is when they started coming out for everything. And regardless, someone made a good point on Facebook this afternoon. They were complaining about how these people have no respect because they won't stand for the flag or they won't come out for the anthems. And someone said, do you stand when the national anthem's played when you're at home? I do. When the national anthem comes on before the hockey games or before the baseball games or before the football games and I'm watching it and I hear the anthem, I stand up and my hat's off.
You're unique because not everybody would do that. And the fact that, you know, you...
And I make everyone in the house stop talking during the national anthem.
That's awesome.
And when it comes to hockey, it's both anthems. You don't talk during either of the anthems because you're showing respect to your country and to your opponent's country.
Exactly. Yep. What I think is so hypocritical, and I think you just pointed it out, but I'll go a step further. How many of the people complaining about the athletes not standing for the anthem, staying in the locker room for the anthem, how many of them do what you do? Probably not many, but I'm betting that it is far outweighed by the number who decide, oh, the anthem's playing. I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to get a bag of chips. I'm going to get ready to sit down and watch the game.
And the other thing I do, and this isn't on sports, but it's during parades, when the American flag comes by, I don't care if it's a Girl Scout troop holding it. I don't care if it's the mayor holding it. I don't care if it's the armed forces holding it. I stand, I take off my hat, and I'm silent. As far as I know, you might know more than I would. That's flag protocol.
Well, there's U.S. flag code that governs respect to the flag and things like that. You go a step further than I do with the national anthem. Like if I'm at home, I don't stand up for it because I'm not required to.
Right.
Now, if I'm at a ball game or I'm at an event where it's played, I stand up. If I'm wearing a hat, I take it off. I put it over my heart. And
I started that after I had kids because I wanted them to know the importance of what was happening with the national anthem and why they were doing it. And so that may make you think that I am against the kneeling of the flag or kneeling for the national anthem, and that's not entirely the case. My wife and I were talking about this earlier. I am, personally, I would never kneel for the flag, and I would never, you know, not stand for the anthem when it's being played, but I understand that it's a First Amendment right to a nonviolent protest. And you can disagree with the people who kneel and who refuse to stand for the flag and all that stuff, but doesn't make them wrong either. Doesn't make anybody wrong.
Right. I take the tact of this is, I try not to post anything other than funny political memes if I'm going to post anything political at all.
They're always the greatest.
That's right. It took me a while to start figuring out, right, what is this protest about? What is going on? What is the message here? What is going on? And I was reading all the people complaining, well, they shouldn't be doing this and they shouldn't be doing that. And of course, the they was always regarding the athletes and the kind of protests they're doing. And when you start seeing, well, at some point, you start to understand where the athlete's coming from. Like, if you don't want us to do this, 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 and this, what do you want us to do? And I understand the point where they're like, well, they got millions of dollars. That's right. They have a voice and they're putting it to use. They got a platform. They're using it.
I made that argument the other day in an argument, actually, a debate about this. And the other person said, well, the U.S. military doesn't have the platform to make their views known. I go, the sports figures, love them or hate them, or the celebrities, love them or hate them, could work with the military to help give them a platform to speak.
What, the military?
Yeah.
That's never going to happen. First, let me stop you there, right there, real quick.
No, I was talking about utopian type of dreams, you know?
Oh, that's never going to happen. The military will never endorse a political party, period. You cannot have that.
Right.
Period. That is why if you're in uniform, you do not show up at political events because it lends credence to the fact, oh, look, I saw an army guy here. People are stupid.
Like, you don't wear your uniform to go vote.
I could wear my uniform to go vote if I want to.
That's the question I was asking.
It's private.
Okay. Time out. I have to ask a question while you're talking. And it's specifically to what you just said. You cannot be in uniform to show up to events. I get that. Is it active duty?
It's active, reserve, National Guard.
But what about all these veterans who show up at different things and they're like, oh, this is great. Like State of the Unions, they bring out all these people who are in. I mean, that's considered a political event, is it not? Are we talking, campaign events?
The State of the Union is a bipartisan
campaign event. Yeah. Okay.
So you cannot have the military associated with a specific political party.
Got it.
But you can be up there for like State of the Union because if we're talking about the military, we're talking about the current state of the United States.
And typically the State of the Union is supposed to be a nonpartisan at what's happening in the country.
It's like, this is what happened over the last year. This is the direction we're going. That's the State of the Union. It's political, but it doesn't have anything to do with one particular party. It's bipartisan.
Right.
Now, when you start going to campaign events and partisan events and things like that, and you're in uniform, that's when everybody's like, look, I saw this Army guy over here at this Republican Party event, so the Army must be Republican.
And that's not what I was saying either, though. I was saying, like, if they're military members, because they're allowed to have their own opinions on things.
Absolutely. You can go. You just have to be in civilian clothes.
And I'm not talking about political events. I'm saying that they say that there's
taking a political stance on something.
Right.
Okay.
We do it all the time.
Yeah. Right. And the person I was debating with said that they're not allowed to have a voice. Well, they are, but the voice that celebrities have, that includes sports figures, is greater because they have
millions upon millions of dollars.
And they're in the public eye.
They are. Military is not.
Right.
So to compare the two is apples and oranges, but
We're talking the military. It's apples and hand grenades.
Apples and hand grenades.
I like that better. I still want my four-wheeling Segway.
So there can be, there are probably people out there who are sports figures who devoutly support the military.
Oh, absolutely.
And they can use that to say, listen, I have friends who are in the military and they really need this to happen in the military. Like, we need body armor. When there's no body armor.
Oh, yeah. I've already been through that.
Right. So perfect way for them.
Perfect way for them to do something like that.
Right.
Now, you can, I mean, even when we didn't have body armor, we raised hell about it. And eventually we got body armor because we were like, I'm sitting on sandbags. And I put sandbags in the floorboard of my vehicle because it's what you do to harden your truck. But they gave us body armor. It had no plates in it. The hell am I going to do with this? So I sat on it.
It's where you hide your Snickers.
No.
It melts.
It does.
And then it's
you sat on peanuts,
and it's not helpful.
Because without plates, it almost does me no good.
Right.
You know
exactly.
But the military members do have a voice politically. You can go to any political event you want to, partisan, bipartisan, nonpartisan, doesn't matter, as long as you are in civilian clothing. You cannot go and say in uniform.
And you can't. I could be wrong, but I don't think you're allowed to politic for your own seat wearing a uniform. So let's say you're active military guy, you're in the reserves. So you're in the military 2 weeks every summer and 1 week in the month. You can't go and campaign dressed in your uniform.
No, absolutely not. Because you are affiliated with a political party, whether you know it or not. You're either Republican, Democrat, you know, independent, alien, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, so yeah, there's a lot of rules that govern that. So when they were like, you know, they give the military a voice, like the military doesn't need its voice. It already has a voice. Like it really does. And our voice, when I was in before I retired, our voice, you know, we would go out into the public in civilian clothing, you know, in our urban camouflage, you know, t-shirts and shorts and stuff like that. And we would speak our mind. Now, we wouldn't necessarily say, you know, oh, I'm a Republican or I'm Democrat or whatever, but we would go out and we would work things for the benefit of our community. And most of that was like, actually all of it was, it was nonpartisan, like to us.
And one of the things you don't do is when you're out in civilian clothes at these events is badmouth anyone in your chain of command.
Oh, dear God, no. No.
We should all learn a little bit of that.
You never know who's got a hot mic.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's you should never do that anyway. Even if you're active duty on base, you should never badmouth your chain of command.
I question all authority, but that's a different thing.
Any job, period.
Yeah, I mean, and
let me rephrase the point, Craig, since you're making a face at me. You shouldn't do it when you're out in public, badmouth your higher-ups in any position, in any job. Yeah. And in the privacy of your own home, have at it.
Have at it.
Right. Among a very close circle of friends you could trust, have at it.
Like,
but if you're out in public, you never know who's listening.
Exactly.
Like, I've already made corrections on that where I work. Like, I told some people, I'm like, look, this individual's tearing down, you know, boss lady. Boss lady's, you know, wearing two hats right now and doing her best. And all you're doing is sitting here telling us all the dirt that you hear from the big boss. And all that does is undermine boss lady's authority. I'm like, so that shit needs to stop.
Yeah.
And so it stopped. I'm like, there's a time and a place for that. And in the offices, that's not where it's at.
So back to the NFL here for a moment. After we went off on a little bit of a tangent that kind of relates to it. The anger and vitriol over the yes, you can kneel and the no, you can't kneel camps is outrageous.
It's misplaced. They don't even know what they're talking about.
Neither side, really. And the issue comes with we have kids and who are teenagers who are at a very impressionable age. And I don't know how your kid is. Well, your kid's a little different than other kids I know.
You know, yeah, my kid's very politically minded. The other two don't care.
My one daughter gets her news off TikTok and I'm like,
no,
what are you doing? She'll tell me something. I go, is that a reliable news source?
Is
this something you got off? Yes. Or something you got off TikTok. Well, it doesn't matter. I go, it does matter.
Tremendous.
Because I can write something, and just because I write it doesn't mean it's true. I mean, mostly what I write is true, but there's occasions that I write satire.
I actually had to do a double take. This is related to that. Speaking of satire, and maybe at some point down the road we'll talk about this, but the Academy of Motion Pictures came out with a whole bunch of new rules and guidelines for movies to be considered for Best Picture in terms of inclusion and who needs to be part of it and so on. And somebody posted an article on Facebook, and I read the headline. I'm like, you've got to be kidding. And before I fully reacted, I read where it was from. I'm like, oh, good. This is somebody having fun. And they said Schindler's List was going to be stripped of its Best Picture Oscar because of lack of diversity. I'm like, oh, okay, this is somebody having fun and writing satire. Okay. But I'm sure someone's going to see it and think it's real. You got to pay attention to your news sources. So go on.
Good satire is hard to tell the difference.
Oh, yeah.
It's really... I love good satire.
If you want a good satire thing for medical stuff, I think it's the Gomer blog.
The military has one, a satire site. Is it like Duffel Bag or Duffel Blog? Well, or something
you
like
have
that?
A couple. You have Duffel Blog. You have U.S. Army What the F Moments.
I love Duffel Blog because they play themselves as being true. I mean,
absolutely.
It actually reads in some cases like a press release from the military.
Oh, absolutely.
It's amazing.
It is hilarious. You know, getting back to that debate, you know, I'll throw my hat in the ring here for whatever, you know, my opinion is worth, which is not much. But look, I don't like kneeling for the flag. You know, I mean, I served for 20 years, so obviously I'm not going to like it. However, I do understand and realize that it is your First Amendment right based on freedom of expression to kneel for the national anthem if you should choose to. Got it. I'm not going to hate you. I'm not going to spit at you. I'm not going to throw vitriol at you. If you want to do it, it is your right to do that. I served for 20 years, so you could have the right to do that.
Exactly.
And you may not like that that person's doing it, but...
But you know what? It's their right. You know, and I've had this argument with my mother because she's so old-fashioned. Oh, they should be... Like, look, crap is different. Like, we're not in the South anymore. We're not in the 1980s. We're not in the 90s. Like, things are different. People are more educated. Now, if you're burning a flag, that's a whole other ball game. That's a whole other talk show.
Kenny Monday. Was that his name?
Rick Monday.
Yep. Rick Monday.
That's a whole other ball game for me. Whole other ball game. You want to kneel for the anthem? That's great.
Protests, if it's a nonviolent protest and it's bringing awareness to a topic and to an issue that needs to be addressed, and you've got to be keeping your head under a rock to realize that the issues they're bringing up don't need to be addressed because, you know, just look at all the videos that keep continually getting posted.
And I think you have to look at this, too. We are obsessed with being an all or none society. You're either with us or you're against us. You're either bad or you're good. But that's not what reality is. There are countless shades of gray in between.
Oh, God, yes.
And I've seen the Venn diagram. Yes, there are too many police brutality, police shootings. Yes, there are good cops. And yes, there are bad cops. And in everything, there's good and bad people in every walk of life.
The goal is...
You can support both sides.
Yeah, without coming off like a fence sitter, whatever you want to call it. I mean, the problem is all we keep hearing from on the 24-hour news channels, which is what so many people watch.
Which I think is dangerous, actually.
I agree with you 100%.
I am against 24/7 news cycle.
I agree completely, and I say that as a person with a background in journalism. What annoys me is that frequently you'll get out of 24-hour news probably half an hour's worth of news and 23 and a half hours worth of opinion. And all people are hearing is one side, and typically the people who are watching the one side or the other are people who agree with the one side or the other. If they watch what they don't agree with, they're just going to get angry. It's a vicious type of thing, and all you keep hearing from on these bloviating opinion pieces are extremists. That's all we hear from.
You know, I was going to say, you know, it's great that we're having all these social justice movements and we're having all these equality talks and things like that. And look, everybody is equal. You know, everybody is created equal. Everybody has equal rights and they should have equal opportunity to do things. Now, some of these opportunities you have to earn, you have to work for because you have to get good at stuff.
Yes.
You know, they just don't hand out scholarships to Ivy League colleges, you know, to kids who get B's and C's in school. You got to work for it. So just to make that point clear. But I do think, and this might get a little political here, so forgive me, but I do think we are starting to regress as a society. Like, I read an article today, and the headline was, you know, couple buys 97 acres outside of Macon, Georgia to make a town called Freedom, and it's going to be for African Americans only. And if you sympathize with the African American plight or cause and you're white, they will think about allowing you to live there. And I was like, didn't we fight to end segregation, but now we're self-segregating? I mean, it seems counterproductive to me.
See, these are people who don't understand history, because the American government actually had land in Africa, which ended up becoming Liberia for liberty, where they were going to send African Americans back to Africa if they so chose. It was a failed concept from the beginning. So this isn't anything new. It's happened before. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't make any sense to me either. And I'm like, you know, if we're supposed to be so inclusive,
right?
You just set up a thing that excludes every other race except for African Americans and the other races you have to apply to live there. First off, I don't think I want to live anywhere I have to apply to live, including homeowners associations, because I'll wipe my ass with that paperwork.
You've already lived in one, haven't you?
Yes, and I didn't like it. And it wasn't by choice. It was the only place that I could live while I was in the military. But like, look, I'm not a racist guy, and I know everybody's like, well, that's what racists say. Well, first off, I don't have any hate in my heart and I don't have any malice. I serve with everybody, white, black, yellow, brown.
You don't care
purple.
What
don't
color their skin
care.
Is long as you know that they have your back in a situation and they know that you have their back.
Exactly. When poo hits the fan, I got your back, you got my back, and it doesn't matter you male, female, you identify as a toaster, non-binary, I don't care. I really don't. Like, only can we do our job? Yes.
The only thing I hate is laundry. Red Sox, Islanders, you know, so on. Go on.
And that's the thing. I think a lot of people have forgotten that. Like, what makes America great is the fact that it is a melting pot. We have cultures from
our
all
very
over
diversity is our strength.
We are the most culturally diverse country on the face of the planet that has been proven multiple times. And you know what? We are going to have some issues where we don't get along as well as we should from time to time. But you know what? We always get through it. Now, granted, we have some very dark pages in our history.
Think about this. We are 274 years old?
And
200 and...
Are you getting at the average democracy only lasts like 200 years?
244 years old.
244, whatever it is. Yeah.
244.
I'm not a math person.
We don't math good. We know this. Okay.
In the broad scheme of things, we are a relatively young country still going through growing pains.
We are.
We may try to think that we are the world power. We are. Let's not
look,
mistake
we are back to back World War champions, okay?
Yes.
We're America.
But we are still
one,
relatively young and still having growing pains, and we still have a lot of learning to do. Every country has a lot of learning to do. Every
Absolutely.
Person. And so hopefully we can use these experiences as learning experiences. Same thing as like when we're having our kids and we're having an argument about certain things. Have we made mistakes as parents? Absolutely. Have kids made mistakes being kids? Absolutely.
But of course.
Put these experiences together, it makes you a better person. And that was one of the other points I wanted to bring up. Your position in life, your job, or whatever you do or don't do, doesn't make you better or worse than any other person ever.
I agree.
What makes you a good or bad person is how you treat other people.
Case in point, freshman year of college, one of the guys who I honestly don't remember his name, but he was the nicest guy. He was the janitor who would go on his rounds. He would start like at 10 a.m. every day. And he was always somebody who was seen. And by the end of the year, there were some guys like, oh, what's going on? What's going on? And one of the by the end of the first semester, the RA who was on the floor is like, all right, let's pick up some money. We're all like, what for? Because we're going to give the janitor.
Janitor Bud,
whatever his name was. He quite literally looked like somebody who would have been on an extra on the Jeff Foxworthy show. I mean, that's exactly what this guy looked like, but he was the nicest guy. And the floors were always clean. The bathrooms were always, you know, immaculate. And when the RA's like, we're going to give this guy a nice holiday tip, I thought to myself, damn, I should have thought of that. That's a good idea. It's one of those things where you pay attention to everybody because, like we all determine this whole essential employee, non-essential employee, everybody's essential. In terms of what can we do without for a little while, that's something else. But everybody's essential. How are you going to make a living? So it was one of those things where don't think that just because you're this person or that person or you're Dr. So-and-so or lawyer so-and-so or CEO so-and-so, you still got to pay the money to have your office cleaned. And that person, you know, they're taking pride in their job too. So
I can't stand the don't you know who I am mentality. Now,
I love that. I got a story about that real quick. It's okay. So I got into this screaming match with an officer when I was in the military, and I was like a brand new Sergeant E5, and I'm wearing PT uniform, so I have nothing identifiable as far as like my unit, my name, nothing. And he's like, you know who I am? And I was like, no, do you know who I am? And he was like, no. I was like, good, F you, and rolled out.
Now, one of the people you dismiss regularly, we always talk about, when we talk about our kids going to school, we talk about this teacher or that teacher, what they're doing at school, the bus driver.
Oh, God, yes.
The bus driver is the first person that your child sees as part of their school day. So sometimes everyone has bad days, everyone has good days. So would you rather get on a bus where the bus driver says, get on the bus, sit down and shut up, and then takes off to the next stop as fast as they can to get your kids off the bus? Or do you like the guy, like we've had the last couple of years, we have a guy named Webb who runs the elementary bus, and I'm kind of sad that we're not in elementary school anymore, so we miss him. He would sing every morning, good morning, good morning, off to RBK. You know, he'd make some kind of song. And the kids, I got to tell you, during the 2 years that they were riding his bus, my kids came home happier than any other time that they've been in school. And there were less problems at school during those times.
Yeah, you're always happier when people are happier around you.
And see, that is a great person.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, there's one person that comes to mind for me, and this is completely has nothing to do with school, but the TOPS that I go to, the one on transit, they've got a guy named there named Mr. John. And I'm sure you've probably ran into him before. He's an older African-American gentleman. He's always happy. I always stop and talk to him every time I'm there. And he just makes my shopping experience that much more, you know, enjoyable. Because I'm like, I wonder if Mr. John's here. And then when he is, I find that I'm a happier individual when I'm going through the grocery store trying to find this myriad of stuff that my wife needs me to get. And it's just, it's the most innocuous thing. You're just like, random person that you've never met before in your life. He greets you. He gives the kids lollipops. He's just a happy guy. And he just changes your outlook in the grocery store for like that 20 or 30 minutes you're in there.
Just like whenever I would go to eat a meal at Syracuse when I lived in the Triple B's, Brewster, Brockway, Boland Complex, Brockway Dining Hall, the person who was taking IDs, her name was Gert. All she would do was take the ID, swipe it, and you'd have, you know, X amount of meals. But she, like, everybody who walked in, we were her kids. We were all in college, but we were still her kids. And it's just one of those happy-go-lucky things. It was great.
Yeah, it's funny how people that you don't think are going to have an effect on you, they actually really do.
Sometimes have the greatest effect on you.
They really do.
Just,
and that,
just
that,
with a smile.
That little bitty change just makes the day better. Did you know that if you have a friend who's feeling sad, all you have to do is walk up to them and smile? Smiling is actually contagious. And will actually make other people smile, which makes people happy. Happy people produce endorphins, and endorphins, you know, don't let people kill people.
Happy people don't kill their husbands.
That's right.
Too bad no one can see a smile anymore.
No, you can hear a smile.
You can hear a smile?
That's what I was taught when I was one of the telefund operators at Syracuse. I would call people to ask for money, and I had to make sure I was smiling, because if I wasn't, I would be hung up on immediately. I was hung up on immediately frequently, but I was smiling.
Hi, this is Howie.
I called one guy. I'm like, hi, this is Howie, and we're calling from the fund for Syracuse. And he's like, oh, yeah, I give you guys money every year. Just put me down for what I gave last year. All right, sir, I see you gave $10 last year. Would you be interested in maybe giving $15 this year? Because we try to, like, get our donors to increase their donation. No, $10's good. I'm like, well, we really, really need a – really try for an increase here. He goes, no, $10's good. And I go, I'm laughing. Well, how about 11? He goes, how about 9? I go, so your $10 donation will be – he's like, okay. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think this has been pretty good chat.
Fun.
I mean, we've chatted about some stuff that, you know, is a little like, oh, should we wade into this? I mean, guys who do this professionally are like, yeah, I'm going to wade into this. And, you know, we're kind of like, yeah, I'm just going to like cannonball into the pool.
Yeah, we did. But you know what? We didn't drown. So that's an important thing. So.
Well, my biggest issue is I know that there are people who say, why even talk about it? It doesn't affect you. But it does.
Exactly.
Well, it does because it affects the culture and the climate in which I'm raising my children.
That's right.
And they got to be able to teach them about what's wrong and what's right about both sides of the movement.
Buffalo Springfield said it best. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong.
Right.
So.
Well, I think with that, we'll call it an evening.
I think it's time to jump out of the pool and get a towel here.
Yeah, time to. But I will leave you with one thing that is pop culture that hopefully, I know Bobby's probably going to get it because I think you've seen the original. Howie might not, but I'm going to leave you with this. Fear is the mind killer. Nothing. Dune, man. The Dune trailer just dropped.
Oh, dude, I told you I hate the movie. The original.
You ever read the book?
No.
Oh. Jean-Luc Picard is in the original.
I know that. I think the movie
Sting is too, right?
Yes, there's a whole bunch of famous people.
Kyle MacLachlan and
yeah, I just think the movie's trash.
Really?
I do.
I
know I just hit some people's turd list, but that's okay.
Yeah, whatever.
It's all right because I'm pretty sure when people listen to this episode, we've hit a lot of people's turd list.
They'll get over it.
Probably.
They'll
have.
Listen again, wondering. I wonder if they're still going to say the same stuff. Oh, this is good. So yeah. So all right.
All right. For Howie and Bobby, I am Craig. Thank you for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy.
The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin MacLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.